Greg, you called me, didn't you, ask me what I was going to preach from today? You chose that reading according to that, didn't you? It's obvious. That went so well, but I appreciate you doing that. That's so good. Romans 8. We're going to look at John 8, the Gospel of John, chapter 8. Your pastor has said this. Other men have said it. I say this. This gospel is for sinners. I mean, this gospel is for sinners. It's only good news to sinners, condemned sinners. This is a faithful saying, wonderful, true saying of God who cannot lie, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, even the chief, the worst, those that are caught in the act. He came to save. Like this woman. And many of you, if not most, have heard this story before. But this is my story. This is every sinner's story. Now that Christ, and this is the thing about this story. We've got to hear this. And we've got to take our place with this woman, guilty as charged. We've got to see the handwriting of ordinances against us. And then, if brokenhearted over that sin, then we've got to hear him say, no condemnation. And you leave this place like this woman, happy, with peace. No clearer gospel message in God's word. As I said, if we do not take our place with this woman, then Christ didn't come to take our place. As he came to save sinners. It doesn't begin in verse 1, because the Bible wasn't written in verses, you know that. There was a meeting of the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they sent some officers to take the Lord of glory. Apprehend him, bring him to us, we're going to examine him. These examiners, these accusers, these one here's a little bit, they're wanting to stone this woman. They're going to stand before him real soon after this. And they're going to wish they never had that meeting before. They're going to wish they never had rocks in their hands to throw at that woman. They're going to rue the day. And even those that came to take him, they said, where is he? They said, we couldn't. Never a man spake like this man. They were just, well, this is the Lord of glory. This is God. God, Son of God. Now, verse 53 at the end of this chapter says that every man went to his own house. They had their little meeting and they determined what they were going to do with this Jesus. And they all went to their own house. But Jesus, verse 1, went into the Mount of Olives. Now, would you stop and think about that just a minute? Everybody went to their own house. We really don't own anything. You know that? We live in tents. We live in tents that the Lord gave us. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world, the inhabitants thereof. Everything in it. Everyone. We don't own anything. The only thing we're going to have when this is all over is 6 feet under the ground. Why did somebody come up with this social distance of 6 feet? God's not mocked. He mocks man. Yeah, we're going to keep 6 feet. Yes, you are. When it's all over, you're going to be 6 feet apart. They had their little meeting. And they went back to their houses, all comfortable and all warm and all that. Our Lord, the Lord God who made this world, the Lord God who gave us our houses, the Lord God that they weren't thankful to, that they ever give a thought to, that they hated and they wanted to go back where he came from. That he had no place to lay his head. No place to lay his head. The God who made this earth came down to this earth. And even when he was a child, he said, there's no room for him. We don't have room for him. Man, we don't want him. Go back. and no place his hay's laid. What condescension, huh? What love, what mercy. Who is man? David said, who is man that thou art mindful of him? Why would you even think on a worm, much less visit him? Why would you come down to this place? Why would God come to this despicable place? Be like us going down into a cesspool. Why would God do that? Because he's God, not a man. Because he's merciful. Because he's wonderful. He ain't us. He ain't like us. Aren't you glad? He came down to this despicable place. Nobody wanted him. Came to his own received him not. But as many as received him, who receives him? Nobody receives him unless they're born of God. Nobody accepts Jesus. That's blasphemy. Bless his holy name in love and mercy and grace. He accepts some of these rebels and makes sons out of them. Thankful creatures out of them where they acknowledge God. Well, God doesn't thank men for acknowledging him. We ought to thank him that we do. He went to the Mount of Olives. And you know, there's a scripture in the Old Testament says the Jews, they were murmuring in their tents. Do we do that? You got a tent that God gave it. Do we murmur in it? Do we murmur? They murmured against Moses. They murmured against God. They murmured against prophets. They murmured. You got a tent? He didn't. Give thanks. We got no room for murmuring or complaining. We ought to be the most thankful people on earth. Thank him. Our Lord went to the Mount of Olives and slept there. Verse 2, he came early in the morning. Early in the morning, he came to the temple. And all the people came unto him and he sat down. This was his home. Where does God dwell? Where did Christ dwell? You find him in the temple all the time. You find him in little towns and villages and these little tabernacles, little amiable tabernacles, little synagogues, where his people are. That's where he dwells. That's his habitation. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than any other dwelling place. Where two or three are met together, that's where you'll find him. The Lord, this is the Lord that Malachi spoke of. He's suddenly come to his temple to be with his people. Is he here now? If it's just two or three. If in our story, one sinner, is going to be glad he was there. Well, he came and he sat down and he taught them. Oh, would the Lord, would God the Lord would teach us this morning something of his mercy, of his grace. Verse 3, scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, set her in the midst of him. Scribes and the Pharisees brought this woman. You know why the Lord was there that day? Waiting on a woman. That's right. He came to that. Now, hasn't everyone heard God yet? Have they not all heard? Many are called, yes, but few are chosen. When this is all over, nobody's going to be left standing. But one woman. He arranged this meeting before the world began. Like that woman at the well back in John 4. Remember that? Our Lord came and sat on the well. He didn't come there to get a drink. He never did take a drink of that well. He didn't come to, he didn't need that water, and she didn't either. She needed him. He hadn't come for that water. He come for her. And he brought her to that well. Like this woman, he brought her. It says they brought her. They brought her to him. Who did? Who brought her? All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me. That's what he said. My sheep will hear my voice. They'll be brought to me. I'll say to the north. I'll say to the south. Give up. Both sides, give up. The east, the west. Bring my children from afar. This woman is coming to meet her Lord and her Savior. And he arranged this meeting before the world. That's what we hope and pray for our lost children, our lost spouses, and our lost parents. And We try to bring them. We can't. We try to make them hear the gospel. We can't. We try to get them to come. We can't. We try to talk to them all we can. We can. I tell you who can, who alone must. Him. And if he's chosen them, here's your comfort. Here's your hope, is that if he's chosen them, they're coming. They're going to come. Nothing and no one to stop them. that they're going to have to be made sinners. They're made to know that they're sinners. Like this woman. It says in verse 3, they brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and they set her in the midst. These men represent the law. They thought they did. This woman was apprehended by these law men. These men were under the law. Look at chapter 7, verse 48 and 9. Here's what they said. Just said out of their mouth. Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed on him? No, we don't believe on him. No. We don't need him. Well, we're under the law. We keep the law. We don't need him to tell us what the law is. Look at verse 49. It says, this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. You see how ignorant they are? They desire to be under the law. They're cursed. They're the ones that's cursed. They don't know it. We've got a sect of people down there, much like the Amish up here, the German Baptists, and they wear all the clothing, as you know. And they try to keep the law, and especially Leviticus 19 about the beards and cutting their hair a certain way and all that. It's a pick and choose religion. It's pick and choose. Whatever laws you like, you keep those. The rest of them, you just cast aside. You know, or the ones they don't know. You know how many there are that they don't know? To offend in one point of the law. You just went through Galatians here today. You know this. Defending one point to be guilty of. And all of a sudden, everybody in this world is trying to keep the laws of man. We're under the law. I kind of like it, I think. Under the law, do you? Do you keep the speed limit? One time I got a ticket, my speedometer was wrong. And my speedometer showed me doing 1 mile an hour over the speed limit. And I was 6 mile an hour over the speed limit. Well, I got my speedometer calibrated. I went to a lawyer and we collaborated. But it didn't work. But I calibrated and I sent it to the judge, you know, and he sent me a ticket back for 1 mile an hour over. Still guilty. It wasn't funny to me at the time. It's West Virginia on the turnpike, about $250. Tell me you desire to be under the law. Don't you hear the law? It's a curse. As many as under the works of the law, under the curse. Curse. They said, these people don't know the law. They're under the curse. No, you don't know the law. And you're under the curse. What we need from God, who is just, is mercy. Every single one. I know a preacher one time from Jamaica was visiting, and he got pulled over by the police for speeding, and it says that he said that when the officer started walking toward his mirror, his window, he started crying, "Mercy, mercy, officer, mercy, please have mercy." And he did. He did. That's what we need, isn't it? We're all guilty of what? Everything. Right? Everything. We're going to see that. All right? These fellas, these lawyers, sat her in the midst, and they said unto her, "Master." I can hear their tone. They don't believe he's their master, their teacher. They don't think he's their Lord. And Lord owns them, rules them. Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. They brought her to him and set her in the midst of him, by him. You know, they could have brought her anywhere. The law said stone her. They could have taken her anywhere. They didn't have to take her anywhere. They could have just picked up rocks and stoned him. But in the providence of God, the grace and mercy of God, God had them bring her to Christ. They brought her to the only one who could justify her from everything he did. The only one that could clear her of all these judgments. They just happen to bring her to him. They're trying to catch him up. They're trying to trick him. They're trying to find faults with him, a fault with him. They're trying to accuse him. Well, the Lord had them bring her to him because that's what he said. My sheep, they're going to hear my voice. And he has the law. You ever thought about the law as a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ? We preach the law, yes we do, to condemn us, to condemn man. And once condemned, the law sends us to Christ, like these men did. Isn't that a blessing? Send her to Christ. And they brought her to Christ. Her hap was to light on the field that belonged to Boaz. I don't see any recognition. Ruth, in the story of Ruth, her mother-in-law, Naomi, she was down and out with nothing and nothing and nobody. Lost it all. And Naomi said, you go glean, daughter. I desire rest and peace, but you go glean. You follow the maidens of Israel and you try to pick up some corn in the field. And Johnny, her hap, it just so happened, she lit on. She came across, how many fields were in Israel, in Bethlehem? She lit on the field. That's an old southern biblical saying. She lit on the field that belonged to the only person that could buy back everything for her. Is that luck? Ain't she lucky? No, that's sovereign mercy. And this woman's hat, they're going to bring her to the only one that could tell her. Clear. The one who wrote the law. They brought her to the one who wrote it. Who said, stone. Guilty. This is what they said. Look in verse 5. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. What sayest thou? Oh, how man tempts God, doesn't he? Tries to test God with his own word. Now this is what it says, Lord. What are you going to do about it? Huh? Have we ever subjected God's word to our judgment and opinion? This is what it says. What you going to do about it? Aren't you glad the Lord's slow to anger, slow to wrath? Whew. Yeah. His wrath is kindled but a little. Should have snuffed them all out right then. He didn't. What do you say? And that's what I want to know. You know that? I hear what the law says against me. What I want to know is, what does Christ say? This woman in this whole story never says one word until the end. And everybody else is doing all the talking. And the Lord, look at this, verse 6. It says, they tempted him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down. Oh, what gospel there is in one line, a few words. He stooped down. First, he condescended to come down to this place in the first place. Why would he do that? Infinite condescension, wonderful mercy and grace that he would come down to this place. Who did he come for? Wretched, vile, poor, miserable sinners, guilty as charged. That's who he came for. Why would he do that? Because he's merciful. Because he's ready to pardon. That's why. Oh, what manner of love that the Father bestowed upon us that we. You ever read that in that way? That I should be called a son of God. He stooped down. He stooped down where she was. And with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. With his finger he wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. Did he hear them? He heard every word. Just like he hears every word that's splattered all over Facebook. Everybody's got so much. It's the most talkative generation in the history of the world. God hears every word. And a man shall give an account for every idle word. Isn't that what it said? This is why he says, God's in the heaven and thou art on earth. Let your words be few. Be not hasty with thy mouth to utter anything before God. This is what we think. Who cares? We need to hear from him. You can't hear anything while you're talking. These two things won't work together. When one's open, the other one's shut. Man, got that something to say? You got nothing to say. You're guilty. What the law saith to say to them that are under the law. Every man, shut up. We need to hear from God, don't we? Talking, everybody's talking. Oh, the lofty looks of man are being brought down. Cover your faces. Cover your mouth. God said, I'm tired of hearing what's coming out of your mouth. As though he heard them not. So they continued. Verse 7. They kept talking. And he lifted up himself. Buddy, we need to see Christ high and lifted up, don't we? He said, if I be lifted up, meaning crucified on Calvary's tree, like Moses held up that serpent on the pole in the wilderness, if you're a sinner, you look to him, you're going to be saved. You're going to be justified from all things from which you cannot be justified by the law of Moses. If he's lifted up on Calvary's tree and you look to him, John, you're going to be cleared of all charges. You're guilty of all charges. But if you look to him, gone. Gone. Your sins are gone. But if he lifts himself up in wrath and judgment, this is what he did right now. This in this story. He stooped down in love and mercy and grace. He wrote on the ground. But he stood up as they began to keep talking. And he looked them right in the eye. And it wasn't pleasant. He who has dove's eyes. He who's full of mercy and love and grace. He has eyes as a flame of fire. He's a consuming fire. I need mercy. I don't need judgment. And he stood up in judgment, and here's what he said. He that is without sin among you, throw a stone. Go ahead. He looked at all of them. I can see him now. Can't you? And would that he'd look into the eye and the heart of every single sinner in this room and is here on the, are you without sin? You better be if you're going to throw a stone. That's what he said. Didn't he? And then he stooped back down and wrote on the ground. What was he writing? I've heard so many men preach on this, and the best preacher in our generation was my father. I've heard him many times. And he said that perhaps, and there's conjecture, and we just guess, we don't really know, but perhaps that he was writing names and dates and places of little this and that and the other that only those who had been there and done that knew, and they didn't think anybody else knew about it. He's writing it down. Thoughts. He knew their thoughts. He knew every thought. He knows every thought we've had this morning. How would you like for your thoughts today be put up on a screen right here for everybody to see? Anybody? He knows. Have we met here with pure hearts to worship God and have thankful hearts as poor, wretched sinners needing mercy and grace, hoping that the Lord will meet with us and speak to our hearts and in gratitude, singing these songs from the depth of our heart with a pure heart and soul not lifted up to vanity, and our thoughts haven't wandered anywhere, but we've given our God perfect all our attention, have we? Or we think about other things. That's spiritual adultery. Scripture talks about, all through the Scripture, about adultery, doesn't it? James calls all of us by nature adulteresses, doesn't it? Why? Because that's loving things and other people and giving yourself to others rather than your mate. And God is supposed to be our husband, our father. And we think about things more than God. We spend more time with things than we do God. That's adultery. Shame it. He stooped down. He's writing things on the ground. Perhaps he was writing names and dates and places. Perhaps he was writing laws from the law. This is the one that wrote the law. Maybe he was writing laws that they weren't aware of, that they overlooked. Maybe he's writing laws Well, I like Leviticus this and that and the other. He wrote the next verse that there. Oh, I forgot. I didn't see that one. You know, there's only a couple of times in Scripture it talks about a hand or a finger writing, isn't it? Right? The finger of God wrote the Ten Commandments. That's what it said. He wrote it with the finger. And then that king, the Babylonian king, says the handwriting on the wall. Meaning, take out the Pharisee, weighed in the balances and found wanting. That's the same hand. It's the same hand writing on the ground here that wrote the law. This is the one who wrote the law. They said Moses says in the law. No, Moses didn't say that. Christ could have said, Brother Greg, he said, I said that. I'm the one who wrote that. Why did God say stone somebody? Ever thought about that? Why didn't he say shoot them with an arrow or hang them with a rope or take a sword and pierce them through? Why did he say stone them? Because this is the stone of stumbling. He himself is the stone of stumbling and the rock of offense. He's the one that's been offended. My sin is against him and him only, David said. He's the one that we sin against, primarily and first and foremost. He's the stone of which Christ said, if this rock, if you fall on this rock, Christ said, if you fall on this stone, you're going to be broken. If you cast yourself on this stone as a guilty sinner, like this woman, guilty, caught in the act, if you cast yourself on His mercy, you'll be brokenhearted, yeah, but you'll be mended. You'll be healed. You'll be comforted. But if that rock falls on you, so that's representative of His hand. He's the stone. And the law says, stone on it. Our God's a consuming fire. Everybody should be cast into the lake of fire that doesn't know Him. He's the rock. He's the stone. Stone them. That's what the law says. God's holy. You'll by no means clear the guilty. And we're all guilty. Every one of them. Start with that. That's why. All right, look at this. And he wrote, stooped down, he wrote on the ground. He continued to write on the ground as though they heard him not. But they heard, they saw. And verse 9, it says, they which heard, being convicted by their own conscience. Now, there's a difference between being convicted by your conscience and your heart being broken over sin. Your heart is broken over sin. You'll confess your sins, and the blood of Jesus Christ will put them away. But most everybody's got a guilty conscience. If not, they'll sear it with a hot iron. But people's consciences bother them all the time. That's not salvation. It's just the law of God written on the heart saying, you're guilty. But they quickly want to, you know, these fellas left because their conscience was bothering. Let's get out from under here. Let's get away from this. They didn't hear it with their hearts. Their hearts weren't broken. They're doing all this talking, as I said. But there's one person. There's one person in that room not saying anything. Her heart is broken. Because this is the Lord who looketh on the heart. She may be groaning. She may be expecting the stones to fly, you know. She may be covering her head by this time. She's certainly sobbing. She's certainly worried. She's certainly full of fear. She's certainly hoping in the mercy of this one whom she's brought to. She's hoping that she's guilty. She knows it. Everybody else knows it too. And he's listening to her heart. That's what he came for. For the groaning of the prisoners, Scripture says, I've come to loose the prisoner. Groan because of their own sin. Because of their guilt. And all who groan over that are going to rejoice. But they went out. They went out. They left. Convicted by their own conscience. But from beginning at the oldest, even unto the last of the youngest. Why? Because all have sinned. So she was caught in the act. Someone says, well, I've never done that. Oh, really? And you're calling Jesus Christ a liar. Didn't he say, look on a woman? Did he say that? He said, if you're angry with your brother, you've killed him. Did he say that? Did he say that? Have you ever done that? Stone him. Stoner. That's what the law says. Caught in the act. Now, I never did it. The only reason you didn't is God kept you from it. It's the only reason. That's the only reason. My dad used to say, so many people mistake the restraining grace of God for their own personal holiness. Well, look at me. I've never done that. Just because God didn't let you do it. He used to say, don't come down on David because your Bathsheba hadn't come yet. Your David hadn't come yet. Just hang on. Don't be throwing stones now because you are guilty as charged. If these fellas knew who this was, if they knew who the Lord was, they would have come right beside him with this woman and said, you make room for me, honey. We're just as bad. We're worse. We've been pretending all these years to know God and be, you know, we're worse. Move over, sinner. I need mercy too. Can he spare me? Yeah, he'll spare all that come to God for mercy through him. Yes, he will. But you got to be guilty. You got to be like this woman. You got to be guilty as charged. Caught in the act. Somebody said he's writing on the ground. Guilty. Writing laws that she had broken. Writing laws that they had broken. And then writing her name beside it. And then writing paid. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And put whatever her name was. And he blotted it out. Justified from all things. Pardoned. Paid. What do you mean paid? He hadn't gone to the cross yet. He's the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. After this meeting, not too long from this, he's going to the Calvary's tree to pay for every sin she committed. And all of my sin. Past, present, and future. Bless his holy name. They were convicted. And they went out from the oldest to the youngest. And he was left alone, a woman standing in the midst, standing just him and her. Oh, my. Just him and her. And he lifted up himself. Oh, the Lord stooped, and he lifted up. And he stooped again, and he lifted up again. Oh, how Christ stooped, came down to this earth. And then he was lifted up on the Calvary's tree, and he stooped, he was buried in a tomb. Boy, he lifted up again with high to glory. He's going to come down. He's not going to stand on this earth then. Again, he's going to meet him in the air. He's going to fold this thing up. And God's people will come out of the grave and meet him in the air. Not going to defile his feet again on this blood. But oh, how he stooped and lifted himself up. And verse 10 says, and when he saw none but the woman, he had only had eyes for her. That's who he came for. Oh, may, Brother Jeff, may you and I have come here this morning to meet our Savior and hear from him. You know what we're going to hear? We're going to go out of this place happy. Woman, where are thine accusers? I think she had her head down. You know she did. Had her head in heaven now, expecting the rocks to fly. And the Lord lifted up and said, woman, where are thine accusers? She looked around. Everybody's gone but her and him. Doth no man accuse thee? Where are thine accusers? She said, no man, Lord. Oh, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? This is God, you say. This is the one who wrote the law. And he had justified her freely right then and there. Removed her accusers. And if you accuse people, you're doing Satan's work. That's what he did. You don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. You want to be merciful like your Lord. Everyone who accuses others shall be stand before him accused. And we're guilty as charged. What we want to do is be merciful. To the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful. It was an old ship years ago, sailing ship, and a preacher was on board, and there was a ruthless captain, and one of his sailors did something wrong, got drunk or whatever, and he did something wrong, and the penalty was flogging. 29 stripes, the whip, cat of nine tails, and this captain was flogging this sailor unmercifully. And the preacher came up and said to him, "Sir, would you please show mercy?" And he said, "I never show mercy." And the preacher said, "Then you better be without sin, or you will get no mercy. None." With a merciful show. These men wanted this woman condemned. They wanted to find something wrong with our Lord. They wanted her dead. Their hearts were bad. This Lord, our Lord, came to save sinners. What do we want? Love thinketh no evil. Hopes in the mercy of our God. For sinners just like us. But we're worse. "No man condemned thee?" She said, "No man, Lord." Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee." You can't do that. You can't just... You're a just God. You can't just forgive her. "Oh, I'm going to pay for her sins. I'm going to be made... He's going to be made sin for her, isn't it? He who knew no sin, that she might be the righteousness of God in him." But he said right then and there, he just said it. No condemnation. And no condemnation to them that are in Christ. But now, didn't he say, "Go and sin no more"? Didn't it? He can't condone that. God doesn't condone. Christ doesn't condone our sin. He doesn't excuse our sin. He pays for. He doesn't excuse it. "Go and sin no more." Did she? I don't think she went back to that lifestyle anymore. But was she a sinner till the day she died? Absolutely. Absolutely. Did she repent of them? Did she come back? To whom coming? Did she keep coming back to Christ? She hadn't come to Christ till this day. Did she keep coming back to him? What for? Mercy. Is she gonna find it? Every time. But he must require, he must say that. "Go and sin no more." Do you know who you've hurt? Do you know who you've sinned against? God? Do you know what reproach you brought on him? Do you know? You know then? You know how many people you've hurt? Stop. "My little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not." Didn't it? Don't do it. Don't you tell your children that? Stop. Don't do that. You're hurting people. You're hurting yourself. "And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father." May the Lord bless you. And may the Lord bless his word and his glory and our comfort. Amen. Again. Okay.